Okay, up next, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, as we're going to be talking about life and death and time travel. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Bruce, let's talk about time travel, then we'll get back into some of the reincarnation work that you have been doing. Fascinating work that you've done in time travel. Tell me a little bit more about how you got into that.
Well, basically, time travel came up, obviously, doing my work with taking people into past lives to help them resolve issues and to move on with their life. And back in 1977, I asked the patient, a woman, to go into the origin. I said, go to the origin of your problem. And I assumed she would go into a past life. And what she did was went into the 23rd century. So that was very, a shocker to me, because I didn't expect it. And I sure wasn't leading her to do that. As I worked with progression therapy and discovered the technique, and my book, Past Lives, Future Lives, is the first book ever written on taking people into future lives, then as work became more relevant and more interesting with the progression, then the other, shall we say, paramount thing happened to me was then the time traveler aspect came in. And my work was being guided by time travelers. In fact, the way this works is actually related to your show again. The first time traveler from the future was a 36th century time traveler, the same century that Martin Song and I will be, but I didn't know him then. His name was Traxa, T-R-A-K-S-A, and he came back, and he, after communicating with me, as well as many of my patients and many of your listeners around the world who have reported that, he told me that, I said, well, why are you here? Why me? What's going on? And he says his purpose was, because of my work with time travel and regression and progression, was to introduce me to Art Bell. And I said, well, how does that come about? He goes, because his name represents the mission, and if you spell Traxa backwards, it's Ask Art.
Exactly.
And so basically, the work with time travelers, of course, opened up a whole new mentality. And in the future, you see, to me, the past, people do past life regressions, and that's fun, and that's interesting, and it can be therapeutic. But in reality, it isn't as therapeutic as people think it is. What is really therapeutic is doing what I call the superconscious mind tap, where I'm training the patient to introducing them, their subconscious, to their higher self, their perfect part of their soul's entity. But also going into the future is even more therapeutic, because not only can people avoid problems in the current life through simple age progression, but they can also get a much greater feel for their karmic purpose by future life progression. And they can also access spirit guides. They can connect with them, and they can connect with time travelers. Time travelers are available. There aren't that many around, but they will, if you appropriately and if you're patient and consistent and worthy of it, they will communicate with you. They will, and there are techniques I've developed to allow that to happen. Just for your listeners too, I don't want to just tease them. There are obviously lots of articles on my website about this. There's an article about Traxa and about the Art's past life in Atlantis and how that was done through the Access the Akashic Records exercise, where we took your future lives. But there's also exercises that, if they have computers, obviously, if they go to the site, there's five different exercises. The fifth dimensional travel and the Access the Akashic Records are the main one, along with the teleportation. If your listeners don't have a computer, if they call the 1-800-KARMA-4U or 1-800-527-6248, I will send them out the fifth dimensional travel, and the first 200 calls will get the Access the Akashic Records exercise, so they can actually learn to do this themselves. Please, listeners, though, if you've got a computer, don't call. Everything I would send you and much, much more is on the computer. And I want you to look at the videos, too, because you'll see, for example, you'll see a time travel contact on television done on one of the videos. You'll see Jerry Springer's past life. You'll see a removal of a psychic attack that I alluded to in the first hour, a couple of future life progressions, out-of-body experiences, spirit guide contact, a UFO abductee is on there. So there's lots of fun things on there to see how this is actually done, and also to show you how safe this is. I think a lot of your listeners in general, if they don't know me or maybe much about this field, assume that this is a dangerous thing or this possession. That's irrelevant. I've done over 3,000 out-of-body experiences, and I'm still here on the earth plane, not on the astral plane.
They haven't taken you away yet, have they, Bruce?
No, I'm sure some have tried, but they failed. Well, when Morningsong was alluding to the fact that, do we have negative entities floating around this office, if you will? Oh, I'm sure there are, but it's sort of like they have no chance of doing any damage to me or Morningsong or any of my other patients because of the techniques of psychic protection. I have my spiritual growth experience, a program that I've done before many times with your listeners, that goes all the way from simple psychic protection all the way through the bringing in the spirit guides and to more advanced levels. So it really isn't difficult with a little conscientious, and I've been in this field for 33 years, so, you know, it's my attitude towards any lower astral is bring it on, and I haven't had any problems with him yet.
Have you followed the story of this alleged time traveler, John Teeter, on this program and elsewhere?
Yes, I have.
What's your take on this? Is it a hoax? What is it, Bruce?
Well, okay. Yes, it's a hoax. Of course it's a hoax. We've discussed this before. You even wrote an article 2 years ago in the January 2005 issue of After Dark pointing out the major inconsistencies. Number mm-hmm. one, I don't really want to spend a lot of time with him, but here's the bottom line as a scientist. If you make statements and you make predictions and your predictions are wrong, you got problems. 2004, civil unrest develops around the United States presidential election. Didn't happen. 2005, an American Civil War begins, having a Waco-type event every month. Didn't happen. If there is no civil unrest over a disputed election in 2004, then there is no civil war. No civil war means no nuclear war, which is supposed to happen in 2015, by the way. No nuclear war means no need to return to the past for some near ancient IBM PC to solve a somewhat otherwise unsolvable problem. You don't have to go from 2036 to 1975 to solve technology, by the way. That's absolutely absurd. But the biggest part of this whole thing that shows what a joke this is this. Teeter allegedly goes to Florida in 1998 to meet himself when he's like 3 years old, right?
Right, right.
You know what happens when a time traveler goes from their time to our time and touches himself? That's matter antimatter. That's called kaboom.
I've always heard that.
That's not just a fairy tale. That's astrophysics. Okay, ask Michio Kaku, ask Fred Allen Wolf, and any of them, they'll tell you the same thing. You touch each other, and that's it. You can form another Cheyenne underground tunnel. Okay.
So if the Bruce Goldberg from the 36th century had touched you when Morningsong saw you, you would have gone kaboom.
Right, and so would she. They don't touch us. First of all, they hang around us in the fifth dimension, so they're in a different dimension, so they're not on the Earth plane, so you have that mentality. But at the same time, of course that would happen. That's an annihilation reaction. You can't do that. So with all due respect, and by the way, you know what I really hate about this? It's look, this guy gets so much attention. He's not there. I'll tell you one thing.
We're heating you up there, doctor.
I would give a golden crown that I made in dental school to anyone or anything else to have a mano-on-mano with the old Teeter Meister. I would love to tear him apart as far as what's really going on in the tech. This is absolutely absurd. Now what? People will say, why don't you wait 8 years so 2015 we won't have a nuclear war? It's just not going to happen. His predictions in the past are gone, just like the people who like to divide the United States into three parts. Remember that? 1996,
yes.
1997, 1998, the comet hitting the Earth in 1999. Nothing happened, right?
Would you call the hoax at least brilliant, the way it was conducted?
No, I think it's actually pretty stupid. I'm trying to point out the absolute ridiculousness. I mean, if you're going to pull a scam, at least read some books on it, you know? I mean, the annihilation reaction, the predictions, here's something. Here's a little thing for Teeter. Hey, Teeter Meister, wherever you are, whatever underground rock you're under right now, since you hung around in 2001 in March and went bye-bye, why didn't you tell people about 9/11? 3,000 people bit the dust because you allegedly could have saved all their lives. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that's true. A good time traveler probably would have said that.
Any time traveler worth the salt. And remember the thing he talks about how he works for General Electric, but they don't have money there, whatever. But at the same time, he comes back in the 2036 Corvette or something, right? Somebody's got a 2036 Corvette riding around Florida somewhere. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, there's no corporations, but he works for General Motors. Okay. I mean, they're all living in farms like some bad, Kevin Costner movie. All right, The Postman. Right. I mean, this Mel Gibson and Kevin Costner must love him, but at the same time, Teeter, where are you? Don't be a chicken. Bawk, 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 bawk. Come on. Let's have a mano and mano, okay?
Please. You never know who'll call you next hour, Bruce. You never know. Let's talk about the science of real-time travel.
Okay.
When do you think, maybe you know, when do they achieve the ability to actually time travel, and is it done with a device, a machine? What does it?
Okay, well, first, actually, interestingly enough, the Wormhole Linear Accelerator, what's called the WLA, is what's going to be developed by the man named Tatos that we have discussed before. Tatos is a brilliant, he's sort of like a Da Vinci of his time, and he develops this Wormhole Linear Accelerator, which will enlarge a microscopic wormhole to such a level that you can put a ship through it. He will experiment and be the first time traveler. This will be about the year 3050. So we're looking at the 31st century. Now, the problem with this for the next 300 years, give or take, is that through the end of the 34th century, time travelers do use this technology to come back in time. The scientific model for this, by the way, is known now. Kip Thorne actually developed the model in a physics newsletter for Carl Sagan to make his novel Contact. Remember the Jodie Foster movie?
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, he wanted to make it accurate, so he asked his good friend Kip Thorne, who's like a real genius and beat Stephen Hawking and Betts, you know, about that, those old deals. Kip Thorne, to me, is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. Anyway, he came up with this article in the Physical Review Letters in 1988, which gives the mentality of a wormhole. Now, the only difference here is that in the future, by 31st century, you can go back in time beyond the time the wormhole is the machine is developed. In other words, now current technology says if you develop a wormhole linear accelerator now, you can't go beyond the time when there wasn't one. But that's not true by the 31st century. Well, we also develop exotic matter, which we can't do now, which will have to line this wormhole linear accelerator so that basically you're not made into a French fry by the time you go through, which would happen if you didn't have exotic matter, and other problems would occur, radiation and heat, et cetera. Well, so that the problem with that technology, though, with Tatos, who, by the way, goes back into ancient Egypt with the first time traveler team, which are Geb, Isis, Osiris, and Horus. I'm sure you all know what that means.
We've heard those names.
Right? Those are the Egyptian gods. They worship, of course, time travelers. The problem is every time you use the wormhole linear accelerator to go back in time, you're causing a tear in the fabric of space-time. That's why you have unusual weather circumstances. That's why frogs fall from the sky. You know those all those stories. The red ice and all the little, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, all the little things, those Fortean phenomena, as you would call it, those are actually some of those. Now, some of those are done by other reasons, but some of those are actually, the majority of those are actually caused by the tears in the fabric of space-time. So now we fast forward to the 35th century, and now you have the greatest technological century in the history of mankind. There are exotic devices. People will live to be 500 to 900 years old because of the alpha synclinarium, which will help you to build up the body's DHEA production, which will help slow down and actually reverse the aging process. But what happens in time travel in the 35th century is teleportation now will be used to go back in time. Teleportation on a simple level, not time travel, just to transport from one place to another, will be established in every home in this planet by the 25th century. But they can't go back in time for another 1,000 years because it's extremely technical and complicated. By the 35th century, you don't need a craft. All you need, it looks like a little radio attached to your belt buckle, like Traxler and all these other time travelers and myself and Morning Song would do in the future. And you can just teleport back in time. No tear in the fabric of space-time. It's instantaneous. And one of the out of all the patients I've seen, this is, I think, very relevant, and I want to just spend a moment on this. I've seen about 14,000 different patients going through about 35,000 regressions and progressions over the last 33 years, but the only time I've ever worked with anyone other than myself in Morning Song that had an actual future life as a time traveler is described in my book, Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed. And this is a man, we call him, he's called Kamar in the future. This is the 35th century. And this is how he describes his initial experience with teleportation as he's being trained as a time traveler to teleport back in time. Here's Kamar's description.
Okay.
The entire trip was characterized by a strange feeling throughout my body. It was as though something twisted my body. I felt almost like I was caught in a giant web. Suddenly, the world exploded into countless billions of glowing threads. They stretched away in all directions, and they intersected everything, including me. The overall effect was very similar to looking at a hologram, except it was visceral as well as visual. You could see, feel the image, but you could also see, feel the interference pattern. The difference was that the interference pattern was not flat, but extended in all directions. These effects, of course, disappear almost immediately upon the arrival or the end of the session, if you will, and they get less and less as the time traveler becomes more experienced with his device. So that's the future, the ultimate of time travel, teleportation, which does not destroy the human body as people project today. They say you have to have a duplicate, be the one teleported, and that's current technology. But some of my colleagues, the scientists, if you will, are a little bit arrogant to think that they can predict what's going to happen in 1,500 years when they can't predict what's going to happen in 5 years.
How do they find the year to go back to, Bruce? I mean, is there a little dial on the device that's on their belt?
Well, we're talking about fifth-dimensional computer chips, so how do you relate to that? It's not like the Time Machine movie from 1960, you know, or...
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Okay. Think of our computers today. We have digital files. You could record on a TiVo, VCR, a DVD player. You can set things to the nanosecond, right? I mean, you can get pretty accurate. Think of that by about 10,000 magnified. They use these fifth-dimensional computer chips, and they know exactly to the second when they go back in time. So it is not a guesswork. They don't wind up in the middle of a rock somewhere. No one's ever been harmed with teleportation. On this level, and that's why I have the teleportation exercise on the site and of course, CDs to do that with the Time Travelers Training Program. No, I've done this dozens and dozens of times, and I've had patients from all over the world, thousands of them literally doing this. No one has ever been harmed with teleportation or any out-of-body experience. Teleportation, of course, is more extreme because the physical body goes from one place to another. So you don't have to worry about it. We can't predict. When I do teleportation, or patients of mine have done that, you can't just say, okay, I want to go to this longitude and latitude exactly and this and that. It's not as accurate as that, as a time traveler will do with their devices, but we're not using fifth-dimensional computer chips. We're using our mind, our soul's energy, and our higher self, if you will, which is far less proficient than the mechanical technology that's developed in 1,500 years. But this case of Camar is fascinating because his case is a lot more complicated. It deals with Atlantis and Lemuria and the old electric wars. It's a beautiful case, which, of course, your listeners can read about in detail with the Past Life, Future Lives Revealed book. But the point about this is that this man becomes a time traveler, and he had no intonation towards this. This guy was not a metaphysical vortex. He was a very straight-laced, conservative businessman. He came to me with other issues. He didn't say, let's go to the future and see what I'm going to be. That wasn't his mentality. It was done at the end of therapy, actually. And so to me, it's a fascinating example. And the description of teleportation to the nth degree is to me something that's fascinating. In my Time Travel Smart Future book, I also describe the case of Raju, who describes how the Pyramid of Giza and all these megaliths from ancient times were built.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, his case is, this is fascinating because people think that, you know, they give all the 100,000 slaves in 20 years, and that's garbage. I mean, there were less than 3,000 huts built, so all that stuff is just a joke again. You can't, you know, you have to use a little common sense here. Roger is this man who went through a lot of personal changes as he was working with me. He was an alcoholic, he was adulterous, he's doing everything, and we went through all kinds of cleansing techniques. And then he described missing time episodes, and he described them being abducted, if you will, taken back through a craft, if you will, back to the times of the Pyramid of Giza and to also the Stonehenge time. And this is what he described. A pyramidal-shaped flying car hovered 6 to 9 feet above the ground. It seemed to blow a constant stream of air down from the center of its underside to maintain its hovering capacity. Roger noted two small circular anti-gravity generators that were used to move and place the large and heavy stones of the pyramid. This is the Giza example. There were at least three of these cars present at all times. These are anti-gravity flying crafts, as they're called, by the way. They had multi-dimensional properties that could alter the magnetic lines of force, these intergalactic lines of the Giza Basin to lift these very huge stones. The movement of these crafts was by a continual pulse, which could alter both the speed and altitude of the vehicle instantly. There were 8 small circular lights on the underside of the craft and 5 large ones on the sides near the angles of the triangle so that they could work at night. There was also a triangular-shaped insignia on the hood of the craft, which was usually driven by a gray. Remember, in the time traveler team, the grays are the gophers. The human time traveler are the leaders. And whenever you see a triangular-shaped insignia anywhere, anybody's got a badge, anybody's got it on a vehicle, you're talking about the future. You're talking about a time traveler. That's their M.O.
What detail? Stay with us, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. We'll be back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to pass on some reminders now that our television show, Into the Unknown, will be on the Sci-Fi Network. That'll be next week, Wednesday, June 13th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Pacific Time. So if you have a moment, do watch it. It's a 30-minute show that we taped before a live audience. It's on ghosts. I think you'll like it. Bruce, how many people at any given time are time traveling from various years in the future?
Well, we don't know the numbers. It's sort of like our astronauts. You don't have a zillion of them doing it. The difference here, though, is you have them from different centuries, from the 31st all the way to the 50th. But we're not talking about thousands and thousands of people. You're probably talking about hundreds of them. I don't have the inventory or their, you know, their listings, but I do know there aren't. There are ones that are here today. And they've been throughout our entire culture, throughout history, and that's one of the reasons why we have the technology we have today.
If somebody today told you, I'm a time traveler, Dr. Goldberg, and this is the year I'm from, would you believe them, or would you think, well, there might be a story here?
Give me about 5 minutes with them, and I'll tell you whether or not they're either smoking something or just trying to pull my proverbial fifth-dimensional leg, or whether they're just, or whether they're for real. It's not complicated. The technology, the events that I'm well aware of, and some of the stuff I published, of course, in the Time Travels from Our Future book and the Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed, but there are things that I haven't published because I purposely won't do that because I want to see what the realities of these people who make their claims. Now, our mutual friend Bill Burns is going to be on the show tomorrow. His filament books. I have 12 of my books on the e-book side. Two of them are interesting. One of them is, of course, the first novel I've ever written, which is a time traveler novel, but it includes real technology from the 35th century. And the other one is the Egypt book, which is actually a sequel to the Time Travels from Our Future book, which gives a lot more information about time travelers and how they helped set up ancient Egypt and Atlantis and Lemuria. And I also deal with Hermes, or Tatos, if you will, and in detail, too. So these kinds of things would give somebody, if they did a real lot of research, some background. But let me tell you something. There are things I have knowledge of that I could 5 minutes, and I would know one way or another. Look, time travelers aren't going to come on the radio and talk to you. The Men in Black would take them out. They're not going to go on CNN or, in your case, your future radio show, GBN, is Dexter Monterey. They're not stupid. Just as an aside here, I've had some emails from your listeners. The Energy Healing with Children link on my homepage of my site is how they can reach Morningsong if they wanted to get more information about her work with the children. That's on the toolbar in the left-hand column of the homepage. And I've also had lots of emails about the computer sessions. If your listeners around the world, if they want to have sessions with me but don't want to come to Los Angeles for whatever reasons, we can do a Skype session, which is a video cam hooked up to your computer, and all the technical stuff is on the site, on the homepage. You can see that. And we can actually do hypnosis sessions, which is about 95% as valid as the ones that are in my office here. So you can actually do this across the world.
You can now hypnotize via a camera on your computer?
Oh, yeah. I do sessions now with people from Australia, Japan, South America, up by the North Pole, and Scandinavia, everywhere. The Skype thing, the video cams are extremely technical and accurate. The hypnosis, the audio is excellent, and they can see me. I can see them. They don't have to see me, but I do have to see them. And the video cams are very inexpensive, and I don't know if you ever use Skype. It's beautiful. It's a free call for most people, and the quality is excellent. I've done a lot of sessions. Most recently, they reran one of my old interviews on Sally Jesse in Ireland, and I had a couple of Irish patients that we did Skype sessions with. And you would think they were next door. That's how quality.
What happens, Bruce? My God, if you hypnotize someone and you lose the signal thereafter.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Remember when you were talking about the call in the first hour before went on the air here? If hypnosis is, let's just define it so your listeners know what we're talking about. Hypnosis is a natural daydream. When you're driving on the freeway and don't realize all the exits you pass by, when you're shooting pool or watching a TV show or playing music or doing whatever you do that focuses your concentration and time goes by quickly and you're usually relaxed, you would call that a daydream. That's an alpha brainwave level. Any medical person or physiologist will tell you that. And that's hypnosis, which we do for about 4 hours during the waking day. Okay? Nobody snaps
right.
you out of
I'm
it.
I'm with
right?
you on that.
Nobody says, George, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, get back to the studio, right?
Nope.
Now, at night, when you go into your REM cycle, your sleep cycle, let's say 7 to 8 hours of sleep, 3 of those hours are going to be the REM cycle, where you do your dreaming and where you can be contacted with your higher self if you use the various techniques I do for healing, or you can be contacted by time travelers or spirit guides or guardian angels or departed loved ones or any other entity floating around the fifth dimension. And so, therefore, you're spending 7 hours of your 24 hours, that's one-third of your life almost, in a natural hypnotic level, which we are given by the, I call it the God energy complex or Mother Nature, whatever you want to call it, to help us to survive. Without natural self-hypnosis, you would die of a heart attack or a cerebral vascular accident in about 3 seconds. The world is way too stressful. Most mammals, all mammals have self-hypnosis. Many reptiles do, and other lower animals, so it's not an unusual mentality. So there's no danger. If the session was stopped in the middle of it, the person would just relax for a few moments more and then come out of it and go back and do whatever they were doing.
Okay. Well, I always wanted to know that, because some people say, my gosh, I'm going to get hypnotized over the radio if you have a hypnotist on.
Well, actually, you know, let me tell you something. I have done, I know you may not want to do it, but you're more than welcome to. In the future, I would do it if you wanted me to. I could do a beautiful sanctuary exercise, which is an out-of-body experience exercise where you can guide. This is what the USA newspaper, USA Today, put that, it made my site the top site in the country several years ago, because people in their cubicles at work would be going to my sanctuary exercise to chill out while their over micromanaging boss was harassing them, you know, that kind of thing. But if you wanted to, we could do a sanctuary exercise. We could do, I wouldn't do an out-of-body experience. That takes too much attention when people are doing it. But I could do other basic or the superconscious mind tap, which is a healing exercise, which would be no danger at all. I've done that on the radio before. I've done that on television and the radio, actually. And your audience would love it. If you want to do it, I'm more than happy to do it. And it's better than the exercises, and it's better than the CDs. It's the next best thing to see me in person.
All right, let's plan on doing that on our next show with you.
Great. The sanctuary exercise is good because it really is an out-of-body experience training. It can allow a person to establish their own little, like a den in the fifth dimension, and they can bring in time travelers, they can bring in spirit guides, they can bring in departed loved ones, guardian angels, or anybody they want to, any positive entity. These will all be positive. There's no way anybody would be on the lower astral plane with this exercise, I can tell you right now. I've done this thousands of times and hundreds or dozens of times on the air. So basically, that would be something that I like to give them more than just the exercise, you know. This will give them a real exercise where they would just love it. And they're not going to fall asleep or tune out, believe me. Your ratings will go up that night, I guarantee you.
Do you believe that one day we'll be able to go from Los Angeles to St. Louis in a teleportation device where, instead of people getting on a plane, 200 people will go into this area and all of a sudden we are instantly been transported?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I reported this actually way back in the first edition of Past Lives, Future Lives, which was 25 years ago, that the teleportation will be established for local traveling now, not going to planets, on the Earth, and actually local, more within, let's say, countries, if you will, rather than around the world, by the 25th century. Everybody will have, basically everyone will have, just like they have a TV set today, people will have a teleportation unit, which is very small, part of their house or apartment, wherever they're living in, and they will be able to zip around and go local traffic mostly, even hundreds of miles away in a matter of a split second.
I like that.
It's a very efficient form of travel, and it's not dangerous at all. And you don't need materials like Star Trek. Forget about Scotty with dilithium crystals, okay? The reality of it is what you're doing is you're actually entering a tear in the fabric of space-time, or entering a regular moment of space-time, so you don't have to tear it up to do it. Teleportation, of course, does not do that. But you are traveling instantaneously, like an envelope motion, if you will. And like I described it, it's a fun experience. I would like to spend a moment talking about a future life progression, which illustrates the concept of the different frequencies that is part of my work with progression, what I discovered. Going into the future, George, is not just a question of going forward in time, because all time is simultaneous, according to quantum physics, as you know. But what happens is that you don't just have, let's say somebody goes into the future and says, see, doctor, I go into the future and I see myself getting killed in a car accident. What happens? I don't want to do that. Well, even if you didn't know the details of where you were and when that occurred, you have different options or frequencies or parallel universes out there. Parallel universes are real. I mean, there's really no argument in the field since 1957 about that. So here's an example of someone who goes into the future, sees a life which is not particularly cool, and you'll see how this has worked out. I call him Pete. He's a clinical psychologist with a gross hand-washing compulsion, which is, you know, washing your hands 50 times a day, which is not a good way to impress your patients if you're a therapist.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And he spent years in therapy with no results, and he constantly washed his hands days and night. But he had two other problems. The number 8 always haunted him. He was born in August, the 8th month. Every time he obtained a new telephone number or a new address, there was always an 8. His grandmother, very close with his grandmother, died in August, 8th month, as did many members of his family, of course. And the name Teresa, for some reason, haunted him throughout his life. So we go into the future life progression. This is the end of the 21st century, the end of the century, and he's a technician, a male technician in a nuclear research facility in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He will have an obsessive-compulsive personality like he has in the current life, and one fine night he just has a nervous breakdown, freaks out, and causes a meltdown of a nuclear facility, killing him as well as the skeleton crew and contaminating the food and water supply of Tulsa, Oklahoma in the year, listen to this, 2088.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, okay, so what happens now? He was in charge of a unit called the Teres Alpha Unit. That spells out to Teresa, and, of course, we already got the 8 there. Now, that was one probability. So he says, well, what do I do, doctor? You know, Tulsa. I said, okay, don't worry about it. Let's go into the other options. We go into the other parallel frequencies, and there are 5 major groupings. And in the one that was ideal for him, which was number 4 in this case, he was a nuclear physicist, not a technician. All the other environmental factors were the same, his wife, his parents, everything was the same, except he was emotionally stable. He went through the year 2088, now as a nuclear physicist, not as the technician, and there were no problems. He did not have a nervous breakdown. There was no contamination of Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2088. So he magnified and be all he can be, so to speak, by choosing the ideal frequency. Now, that was a future life progression, but the very same concept applies. I call this the new you technique, where I custom design your own destiny is what I call this. Think of creating your own reality. You can actually lay out the 5 major frequencies or paths or parallel universes, if you want to get technical. And then you can say, okay, you're on, let's say, frequency 1 now, which doesn't have a good happy ending. You can then switch tracks, and that doesn't take very long, and you can wind up on your ideal frequency, and you can actually change a whole lot of things in your life. Your physical body is the same, but their environment will change. For example, I work with this woman called, I call her Marla, who came to me in 1990, and she was a secretary in her early 30s, depressed, saw no hope for the future, had poor relationships, all the usual problems. We did the cleansings with the superconscious mind tap technique, the introducing the soul to the higher self first. And this was the frequencies that she laid out. Frequency 1, she loses her job and remains unemployed for 6 months, no relationship of significance. Mm-hmm. Eventually a new job that pays less and is more stressful, and was very depressed, gained 20 pounds, okay? Frequency 2, same job, no significant changes, occasional dating, no serious relationship, finances improved somewhat. So that was a neutral frequency. Frequency 3, same job, health problems emerge, skin disorders, insomnia, etc. Long-term relationship with a man ends by 1994 in frustration, weight gain of about 10 pounds, moves back to Northern California where she was from. Frequency 4, she meets a successful businessman. 1-year engagement, marries him, has 2 children, a son and a daughter, moves to Brentwood, very happy, loses 8 pounds, opens up a small boutique, and is very successful. The last frequency, in 1992, she meets an actor in Los Angeles. What a shock, okay? Good relationship. They get married. He quits acting and is employed with a computer company. She has 1 child, moderately happy, but still has to work in a job she doesn't quite like. So obviously from this scenario, frequency 4 was the ideal one. So we did what I call the switching track. This is sort of like finalizing a DVD. Think of it that way.
And who creates the frequencies? She does or you do?
So these are real frequencies. She's not creating. She's picking out what's out there.
These are out there. Okay, these aren't scenarios.
No, these are menus, okay? This is like the proverbial menu. So now we do the switch, and she wants frequency 4. Now, remember, this was 1990. I updated her. I called her. I wanted to see what's going on because this was a progression case. In 1996, in the spring, I called Marla. She was married to Ted, a successful businessman. She was the proud mother of a 3.5-year-old son, a 2-year-old daughter. They lived in Brentwood, and Marla owns a small boutique that is doing quite well.
How about that? How about that?
Huh? Now, people talk about, like, you know, like, let's say somebody lost an arm, or they have, maybe they were convicted of 18 felonies, you know, or they did something really, really, really stupid, and now they really want to make amends. But there are certain things in life you just can't shake. You know, there are certain things you've got a permanent record, or you know, you alienated too many people, and I don't believe suicide is a viable choice. I'm saying not to do that. What you can do is see the other options and then select it. Now, what happens? You say, what happens to the other frequencies when you switch? Every frequency has a soul and a physical body and an environment. What happens is you just become aware of the one that you're switching to. The person still lives in frequencies 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or whatever one you choose, but you're not aware of that. You're only aware of the ideal frequency that you choose. The others still go on, but it doesn't affect you.
How do you make that frequency and that menu work for you? Like in her case, how did she make it happen?
Well, we just simply used the hypnosis techniques to do this. For example, to practice what I preach, back in the early 90s, I used this technique myself when I was pitching the Search for Grace MOW that CBS eventually did. On the four frequencies of the five, it didn't air. It went through final treatments, but it didn't air. On the fifth frequency, or the ideal one, which is actually number four in this case for me, everybody has a different ideal number, by the way, then it aired. And sure enough, right after I did this, within about 2 months, I got a call from the executive producer and the writer, and they said, we're filming in Wilmington, North Carolina. I want you to know everything's fine. And Search for Grace aired on May 17th, 1994. It was a documented case of reincarnation, which is important to understand because this was a woman who was murdered by the same man 20 times in 46 lives. And she fully documented the case, having knowledge that she shouldn't have had because the information was not available to her. And the CBS researcher who spent 3 weeks in Buffalo, New York, checked this out, found out things that she said that conflicted with newspaper reports. When they did the research with the original records, she was right. They were wrong. In New York, you can't get access to the records without a paper trail and the governor's office cooperating. And that didn't happen for 65 years. So here's an example of how not only was it a documented case, of course, but also the project itself being brilliantly done. It was a beautifully done movie, aired on four of the cable networks after that, was done because, was done because of a new U technique, because obviously, you know, you can't prove a negative, but sure worked out pretty well, didn't it?
Well, it sure did. Do you sometimes, though, help them create mind over matter, Bruce, where they can create these images and make them happen?
And, you know, you actually do create a reality. I mean, according to the principles of quantum physics and parallel universes that Hugh Everett III discovered in Princeton University in 1957, every time you have a thought, you create a reality. So there's an infinite number of parallel universes. My grouping of five means there's like billions of examples of each major grouping, but I can't do billions of progressions. I don't have the time for that. So if they fit into the five groupings, the individual circumstances may change a tad on some of these groupings, but you can actually create changes. It's your mind, of course. What's the number one nonfiction book selling today? The Secret, right?
Yeah.
What's that talking about? Creating your own reality, right?
You got it.
Which has gone through history all the way through the Greeks and way before, right? So of course you can create your reality. Quantum physics proves that mathematically and experimentally. I mean, that's a given today, you know. So anyway, the new U technique is part of I call this the custom design your own destiny program I have set up where people have done that. Your listeners have used that successfully, as have many of my other patients, and I do feel that this is something that is a reality check that people can do rather than just be settling for less or suicide or just, you know, whatever, or taking it out on the family, despite anger is what people usually do, and drinking other alcohol or other drug abuse. This is a way of saying, hey, look, you can chuck it without giving up. You just simply move to a different neighborhood, so to speak, a dimension, if you will. It's the same, actually, Earth plane, but you just move from, like, the old dancing ball and the old 1950s sing-along TV shows, you know?
I like that. Well, Bruce, are past or present governments aware of what's going on here?
Oh, of course. They're aware of the time travelers. They're aware of ETs. I mean, the government wants you to think that your tax dollars are paying for the technology. It's actually due to time travelers and ETs. And, I mean, we do have other people, good scientists, and I'm not trying to knock my colleagues in research. But believe me, if you look at the advances in technology in the last, let's just take 50 years, compared to what's happened before in thousands of years of civilization, it's a joke to think of a natural evolution, to say nothing of the fact that isn't it amazing how every time there were massive observances of UFOs, we've had a spike in technology. In 1896, in Kansas, in San Francisco, in Texas, in all places around the country, several different places, you had UFO reports before there were UFOs by definition, right?
All right, Bruce, stay with us. I can't believe we're already to the point of phone calls, but that's next with you on Coast to Coast AM.